Praise the Lord. Wasn't this song service beautiful? Oh my gosh. God is good. That last song is for us to really take in our spirit tonight, because this is the heart of God. That is a salvation message that we should be able to hold inside of us as a true testimony for our personal salvation and share it with the world. So this is actually going to introduce tonight's message. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you. We just praise you, Father. Jesus, we just thank you for what you're doing in this hour. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Father. Father, you are welcomed in this place. We just thank you for your spirit. I pray that all of your people will have an open heart and open ears to hear this message tonight. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start at Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all of these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." This is happening right now. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." This is happening right now. "All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." A lot of this stuff is happening now, but I want you to take note of one thing. All of this stuff will be going on, but the gospel will continue on. Gross darkness will hit the earth and the people of God will remain. Now let's go to the Message Bible. Let's go to verse 11. And it says, "In the confusion, lying preachers will come forward and deceive a lot of people. For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes." Staying with it, that's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. Praise the Lord. All during this time, the good news, the message of the kingdom, will be preached all over the world, a witness staked out in every country, and then the end will come. Tonight, I want to talk to you all about being about the Father's business. This is what this message is about. How many of you can say you weren't always about the Father's business? I think for me last year, for me, that's when I started to really feel like a change took place on the inside. And I've been here for years, like since 2007, 2008, maybe. But something happened to me last year, and it's been such a blessing. I can tell you, it's hard. The fight is hard. However, the key word is fight. You have to fight. Like there is no other way. We all have come to a point where we've come too far to give up now, right?
Yeah.
So, we a little late. I'm going to say we because we're all in this together. I'm a little late. Let me just say that. I'm 43 years old. And Jesus was 12 when he said it's time for him to be about his Father's business. But nonetheless, God is good. So Jesus was 12 years old when he said, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus had wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him at 12 years old. He was strong in spirit. Luke 2:39 says, "The return to Nazareth. And when they, Mary and Joseph, had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." When you have favor, when you have wisdom, it is such a blessing because every door of opportunity is yours. That's how good God is. Now, y'all want to hear something cool? Okay, so this is titled "The Return to Nazareth." So I was researching something else to put another message out that's very difficult. But anyway, I'm getting it together. But I have found the background of Nazareth, the town. And I was super curious to see what Nazareth was like. And research says that the town of Nazareth was very small, very tiny. It was like a population of like maybe 150 people, 200 people. And this town is on a hill, like the town is on a hill. And the people are considered farmers. The way that they made their homes, they didn't have floors. They had dirt. Like there's, you know, no regular roads. It's like dusty roads that they would, you know, walk on and things like that. And as I was reading this research, I could imagine Jesus. It put me in the mind of like the hills in PA. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that, but I can imagine a small town just on a hill and how Jesus was just, you know, walking around and doing his normal thing, but he was, you know, just privately about his Father's business. And I was thinking, you know, if we don't start researching this type of stuff, it doesn't become real to you. You know, it opened up a whole new understanding of Jesus. Super excited, y'all. But Jesus lived in the small town of Nazareth until he was 30 years old. And then he started his ministry. Before starting his ministry, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit of God, and then tempted for 40 days and nights out in the wilderness. That sounds so familiar, right? He stood against the devil, and the devil had to flee. Now, in Luke 4:14, this is where the story or the book of Luke shares when Jesus begins his ministry. In verse 14, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all." Now, Galilee at one point was a dark region. And you have Capernaum, which is by the sea, and in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Isaiah the prophet spoke this about Jesus in Matthew 4:15-17. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." From the time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent for the kingdom," "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, as I was reading this, I was thinking about Delaware, right? Because you have a lot of body of waters, small, and Delaware's dark. Very dark. But what does it say, y'all? They saw light, right? This is what we're going to do here in Delaware. Now, going back to Luke 4, Jesus started his ministry, was empowered by the Spirit, and preached the word in Galilee. But when returning to his hometown, he was rejected. Luke 4:16 says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. I can imagine all of this happening right now. "And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.' And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said to them, 'Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, "Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.' And he said, 'Truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." So this is what Jesus was saying. You're going to mock me, but you're the one who's going to miss out. This is what he was telling the people. So guess what happened? When they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill. Here's that hill I was telling y'all about earlier, on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Welcome to the ministry. Welcome to being about the Father's business. Jesus knew his hometown needed to be touched, but he also knew it was not going to receive him. Jesus goes back to Galilee, teaching them on the Sabbath, and they honored him. They were astonished at his teachings and the authority he carried. You know, when I read this, I felt in my spirit, Jesus displayed passion for his Father. And what happens when a person carries such a strong passion? They know that they know, they understand, and they just really feel what they feel, and it draws you in. It gives you like an alert or some type of attention, and the people loved it. They loved it. So Jesus went forth in Galilee, teaching the word, casting out demons, healing the sick, and preaching the word in the synagogue, a place where the Jews would gather for instruction and worship. Now in Luke 4:42-44, it says, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus was about the Father's business. Judea is the southern division of Palestine. When I did my little research on this part that I'm about to share, you know, I saw the word Palestine or Palestine, I think. And it dawned on me that we don't really pay, as the Western culture, at least for me, I could be the only one, but I don't really pay Palestinians and other nations any mind, because the fight is real right here. And I just totally miss that the gospel is for the whole world. Totally miss it. I'm sure it's just me. Listen to the response, or let's say this, listen to the scriptures and how it's written about what Jesus did in Judea and Galilee. Matthew 4:25 says, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. That's pretty good, right? Luke 5:17 says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there was Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. John 4:47-54 says, when he heard that Jesus has come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he has come out of Judea into Galilee. So Jesus was doing a lot for these towns, these little areas. I don't even know if they were little, but it just seemed like they were very close together. Because Jesus was about the Father's business, people were blessed. And truth be told, he did much of this before meeting the disciples. He did a lot of this by himself and the Spirit of the Lord. So what's our problem, y'all? I'm guilty. we were in Luke 4, right? Like I gave you a lot of information from out of Luke 4, but in Luke 5, that's when he meets the disciples. Now in Luke 5, you read the following. Jesus calls the first disciples. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. I think it's fascinating that Jesus by himself can get all of these crowds. Like scripture said, he was empowered by the Spirit. He had favor. He had wisdom. He had God, right? So it's no different than us. I think we sell ourselves short because we don't believe that we are who we are. Guilty. Tonight, that's going to change, though. So, verse 3, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished, I think that's cool, too. He was just sitting in that boat because it was a lot of people that was trying to, you know, they were hungry for help, for the Spirit of the Lord and what God, you know, was given out. He just drifted in that boat, just preaching the word. I think that is so cool. Verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night, took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat, both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished. Here's that word again, astonished, at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Why do you think Simon reacted in such a way? This was his first time meeting Jesus. If I'm not mistaken, it was his first time. He called them Master. He called them Lord. He fell down to his knees and asked for forgiveness and repented for his sins. The first time he meets Jesus, it's because the anointing that Jesus had. It is because Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was resting on him. Has God not given us his Spirit? He has, right? We can experience the same things Jesus experienced, both good and bad. We can't leave out the bad. It's going to be there because we carry the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus goes forth, cleanses the leper, heals a paralytic, teaches, performs signs, wonders, and miracles, raises the dead, and so much more. This is what God is asking us to do, right? He teaches his disciples about the kingdom of God. He develops a relationship with his disciples. This is Jesus being about the Father's business. How many of you can say over the past year, you felt stronger than you have in the last several years? You would agree? Like, something happened to us as we gathered here in this building under the presence of God. God has done some deep work on the inside of us. Over the past few services, God has been speaking in such a way that you can't ignore. He's used Pastor Barbara in giving us the word, playing music that reveals his heart. The last service, one song came on from the Passion, and the lyrics were something like, I'll tell of his goodness, or I'll tell it, or something like that. Here's the funny part. God is so good. I think that was in the second service, and all of those songs in the second service confirmed that I was supposed to be speaking tonight about this topic. Pastor Barbara asked me in the morning time, Sunday morning, and I said, yeah, and I went home and got before God, and I heard that song that we just played earlier, and I was thinking that was interesting. And he just said, it's time for people to be about my business. And I said, okay. So then I come to church and I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell everybody, you know. I thought that was really cool. Through the prophetic words, in just last service alone, God was trying to speak this to us in so many ways, which is, it's time for us to go forth. It's like, we can't like delay it anymore. He's given us everything that we possibly need to go forth to save the lost, right? So, in case you don't believe God, I have a prophetic word from Pastor Barbara that is in her From the Potter's Heart book. I love this book, y'all. This book is so awesome. This is an on-time word right now. Let's take this into our spirit. God spoke to Pastor Barbara and said, daughter, tell my people that I have come and I have already started the perfect works in my churches all across this land. I am removing those who will not bow their knees to me. I have given them more than enough time to change gods. I am now about my business of growing up my church into the church that I have called her forth to be. She will shine in the gross darkness, and she will bring the light to the lost and dying world. And she will go out into the streets, and she shall proclaim the gospel to the lost and the dying. She shall bring in the harvest that is white unto harvest, and she shall do great and mighty exploits in my name. For this is the hour, and this is the time that I have spoken about in Joel chapter 2. And this is the church's divine appointment. She shall see me in all my glory, and she shall understand heavenly principles as never before. She has only touched the hem of the garment until now. And now she will embrace, or she shall embrace, the complete Godhead, and she shall go forth empowered by the supernatural anointing of the Godhead. I am restoring and I am tearing down. I am uplifting and I am casting down. Everything that exalts itself above me will be brought low. No more shall Baal reside in the temple of God. I am removing all the dross, and all that will remain is my glory. The church is becoming real once again, and that real will attract the lost and the dying. Come away, my beloved church, and fulfill your destiny in me. Here's another word, just in case you don't get that one into your spirit. Here's another one from the Potter's Heart book. Church, open up your arms wide and receive all that I am about to send into your midst. I am about to unleash my glory in all its abundance, and you shall see a great harvest of souls begin to come into my houses. Only those that have love abounding will I use at this given hour. Pastor Barbara has just spoken this to us over and over. Like, this is all God. He said, you must not look upon their appearance, but you must look beyond what you see on the outside and allow me to show you the inside. I am more than enough. I am more than enough. Embrace me and my love and allow me to shine through you. It is very vital at this given time that you embrace my agape love and then begin to allow it to pour through you to the lost and dying world. One more prophetic word here. Now, this is a good one. All of it is good, but this is really good. God says, as you sit in my presence, you will feel the warmth of my hand and you will feel the wind of my breath upon you. You will know that this is the season of great triumph for my body. As you flow in my spirit, you will experience the move of the supernatural and you will know that I am all around about you at every given moment. My touch is a special touch and a touch like no other. Those who have experienced this touch are never the same. I am touching my chosen ones in a new way. I am coming forth in all my glory and power at this given season, and the world will never be the same. Much is transpiring in this nation, and much more is about to transpire. I am moving in unprecedented ways across this nation. Nation shall rise against nation, but my plan of salvation will not be stopped. All those who have believed in my name shall not be ashamed, for I will bring my glory to rest upon them, and they shall know that I am the Lord of the harvest, and I have truly come upon the scene in an unprecedented way. My ways are not your ways, and believe me, all will soon learn this truth. As nation rises against nation, my glory shall become stronger and stronger, for I am bringing my glory without measure, and all things are becoming possible. The Tower of Babel is nothing in comparison to what I'm about to do across this nation. That's a little scary if you think about that. For those who don't know the Lord, it has always been line upon line, and it will always be line upon line. My chosen generation will finally rise up and take their rightful place among the nations and go forth with great signs, wonders, and miracles following them. No more little eyes, no more big eyes, just one body with one mind doing the work of the Father in heaven. Take notice of what I have already done around about you, and then magnify that 1,000 times, and you will get just a small glimpse of what I am about to do. Strike up the band, church, and start marching. I can't get past what I just said. I'm here. Sorry. Strike up the band, church, and start marching, for I am on the move, and this time I will not stop. Go forth in complete glory and know that I am with you all the way. This is my time, and this is my season, and the enemy has no so-say. What I have spoken shall surely come to pass. The laborers are being sent forth into the harvest field, and the great harvest is being reaped at this given season. No more, church, no more will the enemy stop the floodgates of heaven. I have spoken, and so shall it be. This is where God is at for his people. In closing, Jesus had a conversation with Peter. You all know the story. Let's go there real quick. John 21 through 15. I'm sorry, John 21, 15 through 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the Father's heart for us tonight. Being about his business, saving the lost, healing the sick, casting out demons, preaching the word, performing signs, wonders, and miracles, doing the greater works. We can't delay anymore. And I'm preaching to myself because I'm so used to being in my own world. I'm so used to just focusing on one thing. I go to the grocery store, I'm looking for that one thing. I don't think about people around me. Shame. But this needs to end because it's so much that's going on right now. Devastation after devastation. And we carry the Spirit of God. We have everything on the inside of us. So why are we not doing this? Like, why are we not obeying what God wants us to do? So tonight, while you're sitting in your seats, God wants you to make a commitment to him. A commitment to go forth. Not in the mind. In the heart. He wants you to make a commitment to go forth to bring in the loss. So while you're sitting there, give yourself a moment to speak to God.
My children, while you are sitting in your seat contemplating which way you are going to go, I want you to know that I sent my Holy Spirit ahead of my speaker to prepare the way in your hearts to receive the truth that I had her give you. Some of you are contemplating suicide in one sense because you are not determining in your heart that you need to give all of yourself unto me, the Father of all lights. I have wooed you, and I have wooed you, and I have wooed you. And now I am asking you to move forward in me. I have already started the fires all across the land of this revival, and I am not going to stop as I spoke earlier. I'm not going to wait for you, for I have already begun the works that needs to be completed so I can bring my son Jesus back to earth to gather up his bride. So tonight, in your heart of hearts, you have to make a decision. Whom will you serve? And if you have chosen to serve me, then you have to make a decision. Where do I go? For those of you who are making a solidified decision to follow me with every fiber of your being, you will not need to contemplate where you will go, for I will direct each and every one of your footsteps into the path that I would have you to go. This is the hour, this is the time that I have spoken about for a decade now, and it has to be now. I can no longer linger waiting for you to decide which way you are going to go. You have my word at your disposal. You have been taught my word, and now it's total decision time. I am opening up the altar of your hearts tonight, and I am pouring my love into your hearts, and I am saying, whom can I send? Those of you who want me to send you, the altar of the church is open, and as you go to that altar, I, the Lord thy God, I will transfer my anointings from heaven, the anointings you have not stepped into as of yet. I will transfer them onto you, and you will go forth and do a great and a mighty work for my kingdom. This is a hot spot in Delaware, and I have nourished you in this hot spot, and I have taught you of my ways. Do not be discouraged and do not be downtrodden. Just allow me to touch you with this new anointing that you have never before operated in. The world needed me, and I had to begin the works like my son Jesus. He began before his time. I had to begin immediately because the enemy is devouring my young people, and I had to step in and stop this charade. It is a youth that I'm going to work through. It is a youth that are going to go forth and do the great and mighty exploits that need to be done. But all of you who have been with me all the days of your life, you will also be part of this great inflection of lost souls. And you will walk in a new anointing also. So you see, I have engrafted all of you into my kingdom, into my arms of love. And I want to use each and every one of you. But the final decision is totally and completely up to you. I told you church would not be as usual. These new songs are coming forth. People are becoming real in their songs. They are addressing the issues that are going on in this world. Why? Because the lost can relate to this type of a song. So sing it from the rooftops. Sing it in your car. Sing it wherever you go. And let the melody go forth. And let it hit the ears of those who are crying out for salvation.